You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai Show with Dan Roebuck and Gordon Brand Jr.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai Show as Tommy Fleetwood produces a stunning back nine to claim the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship.
It's been a good week, really. I did play well Thursday, Friday, but you know, that's two rounds of golf. You've got to put in four, and you know, it feels great, and hopefully there'll be a few more.
We'll congratulate the Englishman live on the show in a few minutes' time. The chasing pack finished just one shot behind, with Dustin Johnson tied second alongside 2014 champion Pablo Larrazábal.
Three bogeys on Sunday afternoon are too many. That three putt on six, it killed me a little bit. But I'm very proud the way I played. I had a lot of fun.
So a full review of all the action from Abu Dhabi to come. Plus, we'll look ahead to the next stop on the desert swing, the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm joined this week by eight-time European Tour winner Gordon Brand Jr. Gordon, how are you?
Good morning, Dan. I'm great. Thank you very much.
Tommy Fleetwood, a winner once again. His first European Tour win, Gordon, in 3 years and 150 days. A long time between drinks, but such a talented player. I think we all knew it was going to come.
Yeah, incredibly talented player. I think he went through a very rough patch the middle of last year, and he's gone back to his favourite coach, Alan Thompson from Cheshire. He coaches Lee Slattery, Beefy and Jamie Donaldson. So he's gone back there and he's had a very steady run of tournaments, all finishing the top 20, 30, but he's capped it off with a beautiful win there.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood winning the title after shooting 31 on the back nine to finish 17 under par, one stroke clear of Dustin Johnson and Pablo Larrazábal. Fleetwood began the day a shot behind overnight leader Tyrrell Hatton, whose challenge ended with three consecutive bogeys on the back nine in what was a day of tough scoring in gusty winds at Abu Dhabi Golf Club. Gordon, it's a place that you know well. You've played there before. How tough can it be when the wind blows?
Without the wind, it's a fairly, I would have to say, not a difficult golf course, but it becomes tighter and tighter. If you miss the fairways and you miss the greens, it is a very difficult golf course. And it showed by the scoring. Tommy shot 67 on the last day, which was the best score. A few others shot 68, as in the American Dustin Johnson with an eagle on the last. But the wind around these golf courses make it a very good test.
Fleetwood bogeyed the third and birdied the eighth on his front nine, when it was playing partners Martin Kaymer and Kiradek Appibarnrat, who were battling for the lead. Kaymer, of course, at one stage had four birdies in his opening eight holes and was leading the tournament. He's won there before, Gordon. At that stage, we expected the German to win, didn't we?
He's won this tournament three times in the past. It's his sort of home course, but he'd be rueing all those bogeys as he finished with a strong eagle. But even so, it's unlike Martin Kaymer to let things slip away.
Yeah, trouble off the tee and a poor approach saw the German fall from the summit on the 10th, and that was when Fleetwood seized the advantage. He holed out beautifully from just in front of the green for an eagle, and then he birdied the 11th. It's just the sort of momentum you need just at the right time to launch a challenge, Gordon.
It all happened for him when the other ones were falling away somewhat. Fleetwood, a beautiful chip in on 10, good par 5, and then 11's just started a great run for him. I'm sure that's pumped him up on 11, and he's birdied that and continued on to win the tournament.
Yeah, Larrazábal had 5 birdies and 3 bogeys in his first 13 holes before, again, via a sublime chip on the 14th, moved him into a share of the lead. A wonderful approach from Fleetwood on the 16th, then sent him to 16 under, and a birdie on the last left Larrazábal needing an eagle in the group behind to force a playoff. The Spaniard, though, couldn't convert his chip at 18, and that meant Fleetwood was a winner on the European Tour for the first time since 2013. Larrazábal settled for a share of second with Dustin Johnson, who produced a fantastic eagle at the last. DJ played brilliantly over the course of the weekend. Always feel good that when the Americans come to play the golf tournaments, it takes a little bit of time for them to settle. I think we saw that with the first day 72, but he was very good from there on in, wasn't he?
He's an absolute class player. I mean, I know he's only won one major, and you feel that there's a couple more in the bag. He could have won two more, but he's hit an iron and an iron onto 18, which is unbelievable. The length of this guy, and then he's just rolled in a beautiful putt for an eagle to share second place.
second for DJ, alongside Larrathabal, as we mentioned. Keimer, Appy Barnrat and Bernd Wiesberger all tied together in a share for fourth. There were some interesting tweets from player Shane Lowry saying, great stuff, Tommy Fleetwood and Ian Finnis, his caddy. Delighted for you both. Enjoy the celebrations. Tyrrell Hatton, big congrats to Ian Finnis and Tommy Fleetwood. Great win, guys. Well, I'm delighted to say that Tommy Fleetwood joins us now on the Race to Dubai show. Tommy, great playing yesterday. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's very cool. And the morning after, it's a really good feeling.
What were the celebrations like last night?
They weren't the longest, but they were enough to feel a little tender. Finnis feels a bit worse than me, but it's all good. It's all good.
It's been a long time coming, of course. 3.5 years since your last success, but you have been playing well recently.
Yeah, people keep telling me how long it is since I won last. I realised it was a long time. I kind of didn't realise how long it was, but I definitely expected it to come sooner. But you have your ups and downs in golf and everything. And yeah, you could see it coming, I guess, because I'd started playing well again. My game had picked up since August and I had top fives and top tens and there was better performances and I was starting to contend a little bit more. And then once you're doing that, the next thing to do is win, really. And I didn't necessarily expect it to be last week, but there you go, take your chances when they come along.
Well, Tommy, I mean, 18 months ago, you had sort of, I don't know if you'd lost your game, but you were certainly struggling. Where's the change come from?
I did lose my game. I lost my game quite badly, really. 2015 to July 2016 was me. It was a very bad patch, really. I didn't even come close to playing any decent golf, really, for 4 days in a tournament. And it was quite a long time out for me. I'd never really struggled before. And I tried to change my swing because I thought that had made me world class, really. And I was a bit naive and just lost my way and didn't understand enough about what I was doing. And I went back to my old coach, Alan Thompson, in May.
Yeah.
So that started the ball rolling, really. You know, he'd seen my game since I was 13 and he knew my tendencies. And we have it a lot of balls. And I've had one of my best mates on the bag who caddied for me a long time ago, but he's come back on since July. So there were two switches there that have made a massive, massive difference. I've been working on really good things that I can understand and working on my own. And I've been having a much better time on the golf course because I'm with one of my best mates who believes in me, but he's just great. You know, it's great having somebody that's at your back.
Well, it all came together in Abu Dhabi, no doubt about that, Tommy. Some key moments in the round, looking and watching on television for me. Obviously, the chip in at 10 and maybe the drive in the on 18 and the fantastic shot into the green.
Yeah, well, I played really well. I've seen a couple of the stats and I hit 66 out of 72 greens, which is, around there is amazing if I do say so myself, but I didn't realise I hit the ball that well. 10 was a massive turning point, chipping for eagle, which you can quite easily make 5 from there without doing anything wrong. And when it's such a tightly packed leaderboard, 2 shots is such a massive gain. But after that, when your heart rate goes up, you get excited. I'd all of a sudden got myself back into the tournament. It would have been very easy to get excited and carve one off 11 and drop a shot straight away or bogey the next 2 holes. So I think birdie in 11 straight after it as well, because I played that all perfect. And that got me to joint leader at the time. And I thought, it's pretty hard today to score. So I felt good because I felt like I was hitting it well. So I didn't feel like there was many mistakes in me. And I sort of felt confident going into them last few holes.
Well, I think that also you've got to feel confidence. And certainly that came through with your shot on 18. Now, Tommy, believe it or not, you're 32 years younger than me. You had 26th birthday on Thursday. Tell me, what's it like to be young and what's the chances of a Qatar this week?
It's very nice. It's very nice. I mean, 26th birthday, so I turned 26 and I kind of thought 26 isn't really that young anymore. I'd better start doing something now.
Good.
Because it isn't that young. You've got guys winning at all kinds of ages. So
wait till you get to 58. You'll know 26 is young.
Yeah, I might do then. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this week. You know, last week sets up well for me, even though I've never actually played that great there. And I feel like this week's another course that sets up well for me. It's a driver's golf course, quite long. And I'm not sure what the rough's like at the moment because I haven't been there. But generally, a lot of the holes shape well. Or, you know, I feel like I get the lines off the tees very well. So it's another course that sets up for me. And I want to turn up and get my head down and keep pressing on whilst I'm playing well.
Obviously, we wish you well in Qatar. What about aims for the remainder of the season? You're just outside the top 50 in the world. What's been going through your mind and your manager's mind? And do you think your schedule might change? What are you looking at over the next 6 months or so?
Well, yeah, the schedule's probably going to change a little bit now. That was one of the immediate goals, really. It's the short space of time. I mean, four tournaments isn't a lot, but a lot can change. And I was playing the Middle East Swing in Malaysia, and WGC and the Masters were a big goal, really. You know, you've got to start the year off very quickly to get into them. This has put me a lot closer to the Masters, top 50 in the world, but the job's still nowhere near done, so I've got to keep ploughing on. I think I'll be in that first WGC now, which is great. You know, you can look at other things that were part of the season. It makes a big difference if you can go and play in those tournaments. And, you know, you never know. Play well, and you never know what can happen, because that's golf. So it's great to have the opportunity. Right now, I'm still sort of just letting it sink in. I'm just having a minute, really, just chilling out whilst I've got the chance.
Well, you deserve that, certainly, and you deserve the win because you played brilliantly in Abu Dhabi. We wish you the best for the rest of the season, hopefully we will speak to you again on the Race to Dubai show. Thanks, Tommy.
Bye, Tommy.
Hopefully. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.
Great to hear from Tommy Fleetwood. It was 94 European Tour events between this victory and his last, the 2013 Johnnie Walker Championship at Gleneagles, a gap of 3 years and 150 days. He gains his largest European Tour prize of €421,139, moves to the top of the Race to Dubai rankings, and moves from 102 in the world to 53. He becomes the third former Challenge Tour player to win on the Tour this season, after Brandon Stone, who was successful in the Alfred Dunhill Championship, and Graham Storm, who of course won the BMW SA Open. Time to reflect on those that just missed out. First up, US Open champion Dustin Johnson, who finished with a 68 to land a share of second place. So how does the American rate his week in the desert?
Pretty good. Obviously, you know, didn't really make any birdies on the front nine, which had some good looks, just didn't really make any putts. And then didn't really make a putt until the 18th, where I made that nice 20-footer for eagle. But all in all, it was a solid day. I mean, it was windy out there today. I was playing a little bit tougher today. And, you know, I felt like I struck the ball well. I gave myself plenty of opportunities. I just didn't roll any putts in. The golf course is good. You know, hopefully I'll be back next year.
Dustin Johnson, who was second to Tommy Fleetwood. Great to see the Americans continue, Gordon, to come over to the Gulf and be competitive whenever and wherever we see DJ. He always wants to win.
Well, he's a class act, isn't he? Extraordinary talent. I mean, some of the guys are walking 60 yards to find his drive ahead of them. So 68 the last day, which was almost the best score of the day. As he said, the course was playing difficult and harder, but he comes over to try to win. He's a great guy to be around, and it's lovely to see him over in this desert swing. More to come from him.
Spain's Pablo Larrazabal nearly made it 2 wins in 3 years at the Abu Dhabi Championship, but like Johnson, he ultimately had to settle for tied second as well.
I give it my best, you know, I never give up, and obviously I didn't play my best to green, but you know, I try my best, holding some putts, holding that chip in on 14, try to stay in the pace, and three bogeys on Sunday afternoon are too many. That three putt on six, it killed me a little bit, but I'm very proud the way I played. I had a lot of fun.
Four sub 70 rounds. He didn't do too much wrong, did he, Gordon?
No, but as he alludes to win these sort of golf tournaments, you can't make these minor mistakes. But he reminds me of Seve, this guy. He plays with a great deal of passion and uses his skills very well, which a lot of people don't use the skills. Well, I've missed the green. And you know, he looks at it as an opportunity to flourish and shine. Chips in, he gets up and down. I think he's a lovely golfer to watch with a great passion.
He's an emotional guy as well. He celebrated like Seve when he chipped in at 14, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it's great to see guys understanding that is very much part of the game. It's not just all about how far you drive it, how many greens. There's lots of golf to be played thereafter.
Well, what about last year's Race to Dubai winner Henrik Stenson? The Open champion opened with an 8-under-par 64 on Thursday, but couldn't quite match those heights for the rest of the week and finished 4 shots behind the winner.
I left some shots, especially coming in last 2 holes yesterday. I felt like I left 2 easy shots out there, which was frustrating. And then again today, I think I played well enough to win. I you know, had a few breaks against me and played a pretty solid round of golf. That could have been a lot better, but all in all, I'm happy with my game. I hadn't practiced much. I hadn't played any golf virtually on the golf course for 6 weeks. So given that, you're going to make one or two mistakes. And I think I did that. And overall, I'm very happy with the week.
Hadn't practiced, still comes out and shoots 64, Gordon.
Well, I mean, he's not going to become a bad golfer overnight just because you don't play for 6 weeks. I mean, I suppose, really, in hindsight, the 64 was probably a bit of a shock to him. He probably didn't think it was going to be that. And I suppose at the end of the day, the little mistakes he was making later on in the round sort of highlighted his less practice he's done in his preparation for this tournament. But it would be a good warm-up for him. 64 finishes well. Open champion. We're going to see a lot of Stenson this year.
I was going to say, are we predicting another major win, do you think, in 2017? How do you think he'll get on over the course of the next 12 months?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. I saw his coach, Peter Cowanby, interviewed by Robert Lee, and he said that if he'd listened to me 15 years ago, he could be number one. And I think Stenson, the best part of his game now, which he had to improve, was his putting. He's always been supreme from tee to green. So I don't see why Stenson, he's got at least two or three majors in him. He's a wonderful player. And how he conducted himself at the Open, 63, it was just superb. And there's plenty left in his bag.
Top 10 in the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship reads as follows. Lee Westwood, Henrik Stenson, Peter Hansen, all tied for 8th. Dean Burmester in 7th of South Africa. Bernd Wiesberger, who shot 4 sub-70 rounds in 4th alongside Martin Kaymer, former winner, Kiradek Appi-Barnrat, Pablo Larrazabal and Dustin Johnson, of course, tied 2nd. And the winner on 17 under par, his 2nd European Tour success, was Tommy Fleetwood. Fantasy Race 2 Dubai tips. Robert Lee went for Rory McIlroy, who didn't play because of a rib injury. We believe, Gordon, it's a stress fracture of a rib. How long might that keep him out?
You know, there's not a lot you can do with ribs, is there? It just has to naturally repair. I'm no doctor. It's not Dr. Brand here, but he should have had a reserve in there, shouldn't he?
He should have done.
Should have done.
But Rob, unfortunately, doesn't pick any points for Rory McIlroy. Nick Doherty, meanwhile, went for Tyrrell Hatton, who finished 13th and was going well for a long time.
Had a bit of a meltdown last day. 75, which took him well out of the action. 4 or 5 shots, too many on the last day. But, I mean, wonderful player again, won the Dunhill and picked up a massive check for that. So, you know, it can't be all sunshine.
He led going into the final day, but unfortunately fell down the leaderboard, as you explain. The Fantasy Race to Dubai game, of course, is in full swing. Back, and congratulations to Caroline Sykes, who won the most points at the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. Her team, Cassie's Boys, which was captained by Tommy Fleetwood, won nearly 1.1 million points. And it's also congratulations to Mr. Robert Lee, who tops our very own Race to Dubai Show mini league after also including Tommy Fleetwood in his side. I'm sitting pretty, 4th place at the moment after week one. There's much more to come, I can promise you that. If you think you can do better than Rob or any of us, then feel free to join our mini league, the Sean Ryder Cup. Just head to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. And pick your fantasy team and then enter the pin. Are you ready for this? Get a pen and paper handy. It is capital F, lowercase c, 2, lowercase s, capital C, capital Y, 2, lowercase j, capital B, 1. You might have to replay that to get it, but that's the pin you need if you want to join our private league. And keep an eye on the European Tour website this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Gordon, you haven't got your team in for our league yet, though, I noticed.
No, I'm from the West Country. We are still sending smoke signals down there, so that's not my sort of stuff.
Race to Dubai rankings next. The top 10 looks like this. Richard Sterney in 10th place. Fellow South African Dean Burmester is in 9th. Harold Varner III, the American, who's won on tour this year, of course, in 8th position. Brandon Stone, 7th. Graham Storm, winner in South Africa, in 6th. Andrew Dote, the Aussie, in 5th. Rafa Cabrera Bello, who could go well this week in Qatar, in 4th. Fellow Spaniard Pablo Larrazabal in 3rd. Sam Brazel, the Aussie, in 2nd. And, of course, Tommy Fleetwood tops the Race to Dubai rankings at this early stage of the season. In other news, the European Tour has announced changes to both its membership criteria for the 2018 season and also for the qualification process for the 2018 Ryder Cup. The headline news like this: from next season, players are only required to compete in a minimum of 4 European Tour sanctioned tournaments outside the majors and the World Golf Championships. Ryder Cup qualification points are to be multiplied by 1.5 for tournaments later in the qualification process. The starting point for this will be the BMW PGA Championship in 2018. Gordon, just to break in to get your thoughts on that particular point, I guess it means that if you're in form close to the Ryder Cup, then you've got more chances of getting into the team.
Well, this is certainly a stamp from Thomas Bjorn putting his take on his road to try and win the Ryder Cup back at Paris National. And I think that's a fantastic new addition, is that obviously the closer we come to the selection of the team, we want the players playing best. In the past, we've had players that have maybe won very early in the season, and then when it comes to the time of the Ryder Cup, have not been in the best place. So I think it's a great thing that we're possibly going to get more players in the Ryder Cup that have got better form.
Key change, and hopefully one that will be fruitful from a European Tour point of view. The other two points to pick up on before we hear from Thomas Bjorn: no Ryder Cup qualification points will be available from tournaments staged anywhere in the world outside Rolex Series tournaments in both 2017 and 2018. And qualification for the 2018 team is to change to 4 players from the Ryder Cup European points list, 4 from the Ryder Cup world points list, and now 4 wildcard picks instead of the previous 3. So those are the changes, but what does 2018 Ryder Cup captain and chairman of the tournament committee for the past 10 years, Thomas Bjorn, make of them? Let's hear from him next.
I feel we come up with a system that works well for the team, but also works well for the business of the European Tour, which is, I think, at this moment in time, a very important message to send. So I was very keen on players that are on form coming into the Ryder Cup. I was very keen on putting something in place that gives a better chance to those guys that play well that last summer coming into the Ryder Cup. And by weighting the points to 1.5 from the BMW Championship going forward, it's certainly gives an opportunity to that. Then we've got a new series of events in the Rolex Series coming in of huge importance for the tour. And there was a big push that you couldn't make any points across from them worldwide. So to counteract that, I asked for a 4th pick, and it kind of, those two kind of interlink very much. So if I have a player that, or we have a European player that goes and plays in America and are very successful in events across from the Rolex Series, I have an extra pick to try and make sure I get the best possible team. But, you know, we walked out of a room last night where the Ryder Cup captain was very happy and the chief executive of the European Tour was very happy with the decisions that were made, and I think the membership in general are very happy and our top players are happy with it. So if everybody walks out with a smile on their face, I think we come up with something that we believe works.
Interesting changes, positive changes certainly from Thomas Bjorn and the committee. We've talked about those multiplied points for tournaments later in the qualification process. Gordon, your thoughts on the fact that we're going to get 4 wildcard picks, captain's picks, if you like. Does it make it easier for Thomas Bjorn, or is there more pressure now? I suppose you could spin it either way.
It's definitely his journey. He sees it as the right path. He sees it as that's what he wants to do to get the best players. That's all he's actually trying to do. The only time we will know is probably late September in 2018.
Well, for more information on the changes, head to the news section on the European Tour website. And finally, Hudson Swafford has claimed his maiden PGA Tour title with a one-shot victory at La Quinta in California. Swafford birdied 3 of his final holes to edge out Canadian Adam Hadwin, who got himself into contention with a third round 13 under par 59. That's the second time we've seen a 59 on the PGA Tour in the calendar year. But you shoot a 59, Gordon, you still don't win. Incredible.
Well, yeah, that's right. He finished 1 back at 19 under. So, you know, he's only shot 6 under for the rest of the week. That's the 9th time it's been done on the PGA Tour. We've had none on our European Tour.
Have you ever flirted with a 59?
No, but I played with a guy who more than flirted with it. I played with David Llewellyn in Bay Ritz, and he had a par 4 at the last to shoot 59. Great drive. He chunked a 6-iron on the front edge, 30, 40-foot putt, left it, 3.5-foot, horrible swinger left to right, and it was a dribble. it was a dribble. He shot 60. So I could have been there. And there was another instance at Celtic Manor where we could have had a 59 as well. So at the moment, the European Tour has not got that. PGA Tour has got 9.
World rankings, no change in the top 10. Alex Norén, the Swede, in 10th. Patrick Reed, 9th. Justin Thomas, who's had a brilliant start to the year, in 8th. Adam Scott, 7th. Hideki Matsuyama, 6th. Jordan Spieth, 5th. Henrik Stenson, 4th. Dustin Johnson, 2nd in Abu Dhabi, of course, in 3rd position. Rory McIlroy, 2nd. Jason Day still leads the way. On to this week's action now, and the second instalment of the Desert Swing, the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Brandon Grace, who's won the last 2 years, not playing. But, Gordon, it is still a very strong field.
A very strong field indeed. We've got Alex Norén, last year, 4-time winner. Keimer up there again. Ernie Els, Graham McDowell making his first appearance, as far as I know, in this Desert Swing. And Fleetwood, obviously the winner from last week. And then an array of wonderful players.
Also, we've got Matteo Manassero, who'll be teeing it up. Sam Brazel as well, a winner on the European Tour this season. Torbjørn Olesen, Alexander Levy, and Jos Luiten, who disappointed a little bit in Abu Dhabi last week. Conditions could be the same. They could be even worse. Gordon, what are conditions like at Qatar?
Very exposed golf course. A few palm trees around, but when it blows there, I think it's more like 360 days of the year it blows the wind. The 5 days it doesn't, it's very hot, but it is a very windy golf course, a strong golf course with strong par threes, some very long par fives. You know, they will probably have to face what they did on Sunday a little bit more at Qatar.
We need the winner from you. Who are you going for this week?
I'm going for Norén.
Because?
Because he won 4 times last year and he's got to get his act together quickly now because I've put my house on him now.
Fair enough. No pressure there, Alex. I'm going to go for Bernd Wiesberger.
Why?
Long off the tee.
Yes.
His last 3 events, he's finished 4th, 4th and 4th.
Right.
He's got a couple of top 10s at this week's venue as
well. I think he's burnt out now.
Well, let's hope not, shall we? That is your lot. Next week, we'll review the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters and preview the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And don't forget, you can send a question to the show, one specifically maybe for Gordon. Tweet it to @EuropeanTour using the hashtag ETPodcast. But for now, from Gordon Brand Jr.
Goodbye, all.
And from myself, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We'll see you next time.